Hey y'all, welcome back to Pursuing Purpose Podcast, episode 2. My name is BC Cerna, and I'm so honored and excited that you're tuning in to check it out and listen. The feedback and the response on episode 1 was super unreal, and I was pretty taken back by it. And I think sometimes you forget just the power of your own story and the power of I guess just being authentic and intimate with like who you are and where you came from and what you've done, and trying to remember that each and every one of you, like my story is not, it's different than your stories, but your stories have just as much like passion and purpose in it. And so I love talking with people. I love hearing people's stories and their hearts. And it's funny most times, you know, when people think that they're playing a small role at that, or they are small, or they haven't done much. The beauty of purpose is it's infinite, and it is beautiful, because it's very easy to get distracted by that. And that's why I talked about in the last episode about success and happiness is about ourselves, and it's kind of about like a little bit more of protection over ourselves, or insecurities of ourselves. But purpose is, like I said before, also is bigger than ourselves. And most likely most people have some sort of pain in their life. And I think purpose, one of the root kind of revival stories in purpose, is turning that pain into purpose. And so whatever pain we have, turning it into something good. And so whatever traumas we've been through, whatever tough things we've been through, our goal and our mission within purpose is to help others, and to be the person we wish we had when we're going through a tough time, or be the person we wish we had when we were trying to start our company or our business or our nonprofit, or even when we were younger. And that's why I talked about in the first episode a lot about mentoring, and how there's just so much darkness in high school kids' lives right now, and when I was in high school. And to be the person you wish you had, to just be in your corner, not necessarily tell you what you should do or what you could do, but more importantly, just to be a listening ear. And so that's why a podcast is all about purpose and the beauty of it, and the confusion in it, because it's a very big question, and it's a very big responsibility, I guess, on some level. But I believe deep down in my heart that everyone has purpose. And I believe deep down in my heart that every single person is made for relationships much more deeper than the surface. And so, yeah, I got a lot of emails and people reaching out to me after that first podcast. And that first podcast wasn't very, it was hard for me to do, but I remember doing it just very like flowing. And I was just telling my story and didn't think much of any like, of my quotes or like my nuggets, or like I didn't think I said anything like incredible or amazing. And I remember when I uploaded, I was like, all right, I just need to get one out there. But I got so many emails and feedbacks, and hundreds of people like shared it on their Instagram stories. And so I was super honored and thankful that that 30-minute little segment could be powerful or impactful. So episode 2, I hope it could be as well. And I wanted to just dive a little bit more into the conversation of purpose. Obviously, I want to like kind of flush out my ideas and what goes through my brain all the time. And then pretty soon I have people that I'm lined up to interview, like one of my best friends, Houston, another good friend of mine, Justin Mayo, who started Red Eye, which works in inner city kids here in LA. Many more exciting ones that I can't wait to just kind of dive into. I just been studying and reading a lot about mental health, and I want to do one about mental health and interview some people that have studied it and also been through it, and my experience with anxiety and depression and mental health. But this one, I wanted to talk about. I was looking up, like, I love looking up Latin or Greek definitions of words and what they mean, because there's beauty in like the story of a word, and sometimes words are much more powerful than we think. Like, I remember I posted this one thing on Instagram once, and it was the word enthusiasm, and the Greek definition of enthusiasm is God within. And it was cool to like see that word broken down, and then the meaning of it is like God within yourself. So when you're enthusiastic, you're excited about something, there's like this God like within you, which is just beautiful. And so I was looking up purpose, and I found a couple different things, but one thing about purpose is I found this one, I don't know if it was Latin or Greek, but it said the definition of purpose is end goal, your end goal. And I thought that was really cool, because you know, in life, we're always trying to figure out what our end goal is, you know, and I talked in my first episode about like my end goal when I'm on my deathbed and I feel like God's like, hey, I'm proud of you. I'm excited for you because you did, you know, something for other people and you loved other people really well. You loved your Young Life kids really well. But anyway, Perry and I were looking that up the other day because we were trying to make a documentary about purpose and we were interviewing people and we're still working on it. But we found end goal and we thought that was cool because I think when you find your purpose in life, it's like your end goal. Like you find this freedom and this redemption and this revival within your story and with your heart and with your soul. And I don't want people to ever get confused with your purpose is... I don't know. It's really hard to define. Everyone has different definitions, but I think it's something within you. And I don't think it's outside of you too much. I think it's within you. And I think it's using what's within you to help the greater good. But I see people get caught up, especially with like in my faith, the Christian community, a lot of young 20-year-olds, you know, women are kind of like, I just need to get married. My purpose is going to be my husband and my purpose is going to be my kids. And that's my purpose. That's what I'm here for. And I love that they're very passionate about that, but your purpose should never be really something external, if that makes any sense. Like if your husband dies or breaks up with you or leaves you or your kids die even, which is a tragedy, does that mean your purpose has died? And I don't think so. And I don't want to ever discourage mothers out there. I think I always say good parents is like one of the biggest needs in the world right now. We need like... I mentor so many high school kids and broken families and stories of young people, of college students and high school students. And I'm always like, yo, if you're raising authentic, genuine, vulnerable, loving kids, then you're helping the bigger mission of trying to heal. I think there's a quote that says it's easier to raise loving kids than heal broken adults. And I love that quote because it's true. It's really tough to heal broken adults sometimes. A lot of bitterness, a lot of pain, a lot of resentment, a lot of hard clay within themselves that it's hard to mold and shape and soften that clay. But anyway, I come back to, you know, your purpose. I don't want people to ever feel like I'm married now. My purpose is to serve my husband or to serve my wife. And I know that's part of your story, but I feel like there's a bigger design than that. And I don't want young kids or young adults chasing marriage or chasing being a parent because it relieves them of the obligation to try to find their purpose. Like, I feel like you're like, oh, I have kids now. I don't have to worry about helping, you know, the neighbor up down the street or the kids or the homeless. Like, my purpose is my kids and that's it. But I've seen that story play out over and over, and I've seen a lot of broken hopes and dreams in that, trying to like find your husband, find your kids. And then you look up and you're like, well, I'm still missing something. Holy crap. And so that's a story I've seen play over and over. So another quote I have that I wrote down a long time ago is two people have to be good alone to be great together. And I want to do a whole podcast on relationships someday, but I think there's something beauty in that of like, not that you have to know what your purpose is before you find your lover or your spouse or your girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it is, but I think you need to like really break down a lot of shells and walls around you and get out of your comfort zone and have kind of like so many life experiences and realizations and rebirths and yeah, you just need to have more of like a dream and a goal. Like there's a lot of quotes, you know, of like, you're when you find your one, you're going to be running towards like God or your life goal, and then they're going to be running next to you, and then you guys become, you should never be running after someone, you know, or chasing someone. And I think that's just so beautiful that when you start to uncover your purpose and your story and redeem it, you know, you're so much more geared on something bigger than yourself. So you don't really worry about being alone. I mean, yeah, of course we feel lonely. Of course we want someone to love and to be there for someone and someone to love us. And, but I think you can't rely on that. You can't put your happiness or your joy or your purpose in someone else's hands. And that's where things get really tricky and rocky with relationships. So anyway, like I said, purpose. So it means end goal in some sort of form of the breakdown of the word. And I just think that's beautiful. And I think And when I said it's not external, what it's within you is, I think you have to really go within your heart and your story and figure out the blocks that are up, that are keeping you from living your purpose out. And something I wanted to start this podcast with the dedication. I want to do this. I don't know if I could do this every time, but there's a girl that I was talking to, a young activist, and her name's Annika Phillips, and she is launching her own nonprofit. And she is about to go to Uganda, North Uganda, and help South Sudan refugees and the crisis up there. It's a really, really tragic crisis. Like, millions of people are seeking asylum and refugees from South Sudan. The stories there are really horrible. But it's funny, I saw a comment on a photo of mine from a while ago where I was working with these refugees, and she commented and she said, "Oh my gosh, it's my goal and my dream to do that someday." And literally, she is doing that. She's going there in a couple weeks, and she's taking Perry, and I was supposed to go with her, and I'm so sad I couldn't go with her. But she's going there in a couple weeks to literally go figure out ways to create jobs in northern Uganda, the refugee camp, and for South Sudan refugees. And I'm just so proud of her, and so I wanted to dedicate this podcast to her, because that's just really exciting and really inspiring. And she sent me a message like my whole story and journey and missions kind of like helped her with hers. And so that just kind of got to my heart, because as I still continue to struggle with insecurities or fears or doubts or, those things, I always get reminded when people say that, or when people said my podcast like helped them. Like, I got an email from someone that was this crazy long email, and I was crying reading it just because it just encouraged them, and I was so blown away and just so humbled. But I think that's what's beautiful about purpose is, see, you got to understand success and happiness, it feeds a lot of our worldly desires of like greed and envy and money and success and identity of like impressing people. It feeds all those things really well. It fills those cups up really well. But purpose, it fills this like invisible cup, and it's this cup that you kind of have to be reminded by in a humble way that you're doing something bigger and better than the world tells you or the world shows you. And so, like, for me, instance, I get insecure about where I'm at in life and my identity, as if my next job or how much money I have or that I don't have a car or something like that. And the world reminds me of that really quick. And I think what reminds me of purpose, it's like the world reminds me that I'm not successful because of money, clothes, all these different things, my bank account, and then people remind me that the true meaning of success is the value you have on other people, right? The impact you have on other people, which doesn't pay the bills, that's true, but it's so infinite and beautiful and real that that you can't put a price on it. And that's why it's so beautiful, because it doesn't pay your bills and it doesn't buy you things, which, adults, and actually the biology of us humans is safety and security, right? Like, we're programmed in our DNA and our brain because of survival, when we were cavemen or whatever, we had to, stack up and stash things and be frugal, and we had to survive. And love goes against a lot of that, right? Love and purpose and passion goes against a lot of those instincts. And so, but the truth is a plane's going over, one sec. I don't think you can hear it. So love goes against that. So, when a lot of our parents are trying to be like, don't worry about finding your purpose, worry about finding your paycheck first, and then we can talk about your purpose, and love. And I feel like God even says like, no, worry about finding me, worry about finding, the stuff that's within you, that magical dust that is bigger than you. And there's freedom in that. And there's like such cool stories that come from that. Like I said, like, I've been doing this for, 10 plus years, and I've never once, I've had moments where I could have taken really big jobs or really big paychecks. And I'm not saying that's bad at all. I never want to discourage people from their chapters and their seasons of life. I'm never saying to be an activist, you have to be a martyr and you have to suffer and you have to, like, every story is different. And everyone plays a role in helping the world become a better place, right? I always think of like a Rubik's Cube. And in a Rubik's Cube, there's different colors and you're trying to solve it, right? And you have to move different pieces and you have to kind of like, think it through. And so I think everyone plays a color on their Rubik's Cube, and you just have to choose the color you want to play. And so if some people love business, some people love starting companies, some people love finances and politics, and other people love living in the villages throughout different parts of the world. And it's not about comparing yourself to those people. It's really trying to figure out what your purpose is, what your pain, what your struggles, what your trauma, what your revival, what your story is, and utilizing that towards something bigger. And I, like I said before, it doesn't get rid of anxiety or depression. It doesn't just like numb those out, but it helps with those. It really helps you get through that when you're authentic, because when you're living with an alignment of yourself, something beautiful happens to where you're going to have your bad days. You're going to have your down days. I have my down days and bad days all the time. And it's tough, but there's a little bit more light at the end of the tunnel, because you're like, okay, I'm having a bad day. I'm having a down day. I'm struggling with finances. I'm struggling with, you know, support from my community. I'm struggling with different things, but like there's something beautiful happening and I can't explain it. I can't articulate it to my friends, to my family, or to myself. But there's something beautiful happening, and just finding peace and freedom in that. And like, I mean, like a lot of faith, I guess, comes in. Like the opposite of faith is sight. And for me, my faith is like everything, just trusting God. And if you don't have that kind of faith yet, or if you don't have that kind of relationship with God or experience with God yet, I encourage you to keep like leaning into that and to like lean into the rest that your soul could have when you give up control of trying to control everything. And as the, like I said, the biology of us is trying to control things, trying to like make things happen. And you know, like that's why praying or even meditation goes so against our cultural like normality, because when you're meditating for 15 or 20 minutes, you're sitting there doing nothing, thinking about nothing, relaxing your mind. And that's like, well, I could have spent 15 minutes doing emails or doing work. And that's the beauty of like the illogical side of love and purpose and passion is like, you know, sit there and pray. Like pray for your people that hurt you. Pray for the people who you don't even know. Pray for, you know, meditate on, you know, yourself. Clear your mind out. And all of these things go against our biology. And so we're slowly evolving, though. We're slowly moving forward towards this understanding that it's so crucial and needed to meditate and to pray and to reflect and get away from technology. And anxiety and depression is just fueled by technology. I don't want to get too sidetracked. I feel like I need someone to dialogue with, because this can go into a million different directions. But I want to come back to purpose is the end goal, is to something bigger than ourselves. It's to something that's not too external, but it's very internal, that becomes external because of the internal adventure we've gone on. And trying to, one second, a plane's going over again. Let me see if I can hear it. I don't think I can. But trying to, discover like the blocks that's within you. Like what comes up when you're trying to pursue the dream or passion or something that's within your heart that you feel like you can't explain it, but you know you have to move here or go do this or, you know, do X, Y, and Z. Like figure out what those blocks are. Because a lot of people look at the behavior, like, you know, it's like, oh, I'm just lazy, I wake up late, or there's like a lot of excuses you can come up with, but figure out what really is blocking you. Is it, you know, I think one thing I always talk about is you ask any parent what their end goal for their child is. And most parents will say, consciously, they'll say to make sure that when I die, my kid isn't homeless, right? Like that's the biology of it. And that's just the truth. Like, hey, what do you want for your kids when you die? And a parent, consciously or subconsciously, they'll say one or the other of like, I want to make sure that when I die, my kid is a normal human being that is not homeless or is not dependent or is not, you know, living on the streets. And that's just the truth. That's just the fact. And you might have parents like, I just want my kids to be happy. I just want this. And that's awesome. But I would say the majority of our parents are just like, I want my kid to be sustainable and, you know, successful and stuff. And then you ask any kid, what do you want in your life? And subconsciously, whatever they might say, but subconsciously, they kind of want to make their parents proud. We are, you know, usually pretty hyper aware of just like we crave love from our parents. We crave approval from our parents. And it's funny because the things that, the friction that comes into play is our happiness or our purpose is frictioning with those two things. And so our parents, you know, our parents most likely, but I want to make sure my kid finds, you know, purpose or happiness is there on some level, but it's not number one priority. And us, we want to find happiness and purpose, but more than anything, we kind of want to make our parents proud or our parents to love us. And so there's a friction within our soul and within our world that is confusing because, you know, there's the biology, like I said, and then there's the spiritual side of it and the bigger picture of it. And so then our parents die, you know, that external purpose of like making my parents happy or whatever, our parents die, and then we have to live another 30, 40, 50 years without them when our entire life was kind of revolving around their acceptance or their approval or their love. And so there's that friction you have to really come to terms with. And I mean, I get the email or phone call or, you know, direct message at least once a week, if not every other day, of someone saying, you know, like, how do I chase these dreams and goals I have? My parents are expecting me to go to college to get a normal job. And you have to just like have that deep realization that the biology of your parents, like the formula of culture even, is to make sure you're safe and secure and that you have, you know, a roof over your head and food in your, you know, in your cabinet and stuff like that. And so that's the story. That's just the, like I said, that's the culture and the biology of it. And in reality, you're like chasing something that's so unseen and so illogical and so crazy. And you see people chase it every day. And, you know, the big question is, hey, how did you do this when none of your friends accepted you or your parents didn't accept you? And that's the courage. Like, it takes so much courage to take that leap of faith. It takes so much faith. It takes so much fear. But that's why courage is just so much more beautiful. I feel like courage is just the one thing you need so bad in your heart and your soul. And you find that courage by kind of finding those tough parts, those pains and traumas, because that pain fuels your trauma. I mean, fuels your purpose, because it fuels that courage. Like, you know you're scared to do something, you know you're scared to take that leap of faith, but you know that there's refugee kids from South Sudan that are, you know, starving and hungry and struggling and fleeing their homes to find safety. And so that fuels the courage, like Annika, if you're listening, congratulations, but that you're going, but it fuels like the uncertainty, because for me, like, one thing that is probably on my mind at least once a day is around 6,000 high school kids kill themselves every year. 6,000, that's a stupid amount. That's so many a day, right? And one thing that always fuels me is like when I get tired or when I get anxiety or when I get depressed or when I go through struggles, I'm like, man, my goal is to get that number to zero, hopefully. And I don't know what that looks like, but I know that's my goal. And I take it with strides and baby steps, of course, and I always am moving forward. But I have off days for sure, but I know that that's not okay with me. Like a 15-year-old kid that just needed to be loved or heard or seen or encouraged or known that they belong, I mean, and they took their life because of just that, the simplest formula of just love and acceptance and hearing and seeing someone. So that's kind of like, you know, what fuels me, my courage to just always step out and take, like, even this podcast was a big fear of mine and was super scared, but I took a leap of faith because I was like, man, if there's one, and even the traveling good. So the traveling good, we traveled around the country for 3 months and people would always ask, how are you gonna get people to these events? How are you gonna scale this? How are you gonna grow this? How are you gonna get sponsors? And, you know, I was talking to this one investor, and he was this billionaire guy, and he sat me down and asked me a million questions about all these different things. And I said to him, hey, I love this, and I love being challenged, and I love thinking outside the box of how to make money with it, how to scale with it, how to advertise for it, and I'm all about that. I'm all about, you know, the business side of things and making money and sustainability. But I remember telling him, I was like, hey, man, if one person comes to one of these events, we went to 25 cities, we threw 25 events, if one person comes after 3 months and they felt seen, heard, encouraged, and loved, and that they belong, the whole tour is a success. And that was like what fueled, I was so scared launching that Kickstarter, launching the Traveling Good. I was like terrified. I know for 100% I wouldn't have done it without my community or friends, like 100%, there's no way. And so, but that's the one thing I knew. I was like, man, I know there's freaking young people out there in the U.S. that just do not feel seen, encouraged, heard, or loved. And we're going to go find that one person and make sure they do. And luckily that happened multiple times. We got so many messages and emails and cards and thank you cards from people just saying, like, I've never felt something like that at that event, because it wasn't about us. It was about them. So yeah, this was just kind of a rambling session of what purpose is and means, and different varieties of ways looking at it. I hope you guys can have questions. I hope you guys can share this with your friends. If you post on your story, I'll try to repost that, because I just, that like really, you know, is powerful to me when someone shares it. This is episode 2. I hope I touched a lot. I think I feel like I just scratched the surface again, because discovering your purpose is a huge long journey, and I hope we're on it together. I hope you guys took notes. I hope these sessions where I just do monologues and just kind of like clear my brain encourage you guys to write down questions and notes for me. And then when we go on Instagram Live or I open up questions, people just go, yeah, you said this about this, but how do you do this? Like, how do you get your parents to like support you or encourage you? How do you get the courage? How do you find out what your mission is? How do you find out what your pain or your past trauma is? How do you find out what holds you back? How do you find community? That's a huge one too. And I was talking to a college student on Instagram Live the other day, and she was like, I'm a college student. I'm kind of stuck here because my, you know, my parents are paying for it. And I was just like, college is an amazing place. If you have to go to college and you're not going in debt and your parents are paying for it, or you have a scholarship, utilize college for the community that is literally all around you. Like, host events and start clubs that are about something bigger, if it's food drive, or if it's a shoe drive for homeless people, or if it's raising money to help orphans around the world, whatever it is. Like, you have this community literally all around you, and you can host movie nights. Like, find your favorite documentaries and start screening them. And if a couple of people come, that's awesome. If 4 or 5 people come, that's dope. If 20 come, that's awesome too. And just start cultivating the culture you want to see within your own community. Don't feel like you're in prison in college. Don't feel like you're stuck in high school. Literally find movies and documentaries or books or topics that set your soul or your heart on fire. Even if you're not an expert, literally just like start screening these documentaries. I Am by Tom Shadyac is my favorite documentary. I've screened it around Denver probably 15 times. The whole film just changed my whole life, and I started just screening it, and first 4 people came, and then 20 people came, and 30, and it was just, you know, you just have to create the culture you're looking for. And yeah, sometimes I ramble, I'm sorry. I don't know how long this has gone. I can't really see actually what minute I'm at, but I hope you guys are somewhat encouraged by this podcast. I hope you guys stick around for the next episodes. I cannot thank you enough for all the emails and support and encouragement I got for the episode 1. This is episode 2. My name is BC Cerna. I love you guys. Please follow along on Instagram and send messages and whatever this, you know, did for you. And if you have constructive feedback, I love that so much. If you're like, BC, you're rambling too much, there's no direction you're going in, please send me that. Please send me any feedback, or even if something conflicted with you, if I said something that kind of like confused you or offended you, please send me that. Like, I need feedback. I need structure to figure out how to move this thing forward well, because I'm literally doing it without any guidance, without any support, without any like community as of now, because I believe you have to create something before you start, you know, asking people to help. So I'm going to create hopefully 5 or 10 podcasts and then really start getting a lot of support from friends on, you know, how to make it better and bigger. But I love you guys so much. I can't thank you enough. If you're listening to this, I hope it's just like we're chilling at a coffee shop, hanging out with each other, even though I'm the only one talking, which I hate doing if I'm hanging out with people. If you've ever gone and had coffee with me or hung out with me, I'm addicted to asking questions. And so this is super new for me. And I love every single one of you. I hope this finds you peaceful and restful. And I hope your soul feels a little breath of fresh air. I hope whatever you're going through, your struggles, your confusions right now, your insecurities, I hope you can find beauty in them. If you're insecure about the way you look or your body or your education or your identity, I hope you can find freedom in knowing that so many people are going through it with you, and that your mission is to like navigate those emotions and feelings, figure out how to find peace and freedom within your heart and soul, and your mission is to help others get through that too. be the person you wish you had, and seek mentors and seek friends and community and authentic relationships. You are not made for surface level conversations or community or people. And I love you guys so much. Thank you so much. Episode 2, signing out. Thank you. Bye.